The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when one stone will not be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, by brothers and sisters, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As you may be aware that we are shortly coming to the end of what we call the liturgical year, or the church's year, which, of course, in a couple weeks, we will start the season of Advent, which is the beginning of the church's year. And, of course, that season is our time of preparation for the celebration of Christmas. And so, but here at the, we're at sort of the tail end of the present liturgical year. And the church kind of sees the liturgical year as a kind of a metaphor or a symbol of old time. From the beginning of the human race until the end of time, when Jesus Christ comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, as we say in the Creed. And the time of salvation in that period of the history of humanity, the time of salvation is that time which began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and will come to its fulfillment when Christ returns. So we're kind of like the end, what is called the end times, which began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so we've been in the end times for 2,000 years almost. And we're looking forward to Christ's return in glory. Now, before that return of Christ, we know that the church, and we as members of that church, we're members of the church, but the church will suffer its ultimate trial before Christ's return. And what will be that ultimate trial? Well, the faith of many will be shaken. And that is to say that many people will fall away from the faith. And what will make this happen, there will be two things. The first one is persecution. The church will be persecuted. And in that persecution, many will fall away. And we saw that happen. We've already seen that happen in the early church. When the church was persecuted, many Christians did give up faith in Jesus Christ to avoid being persecuted. And at the end, there will be this persecution. Many will fall away. There is also another thing that will bring about the falling away of Christians, and that is some kind of religious deception will take place. That is, somebody or some, movement or will offer an apparent solution to the world's problems. But in order to share in that solution, one will have to give up their belief in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world. So the price to pay to be a part of the solution will be turning your back on your faith. And the ultimate deception, of course, is the Antichrist. Now, of course, when we read in the New Testament, the apostles already started to said that the Antichrist is going to come. In fact, he is already here. This is at the time of the apostles. Already, the spirit of Antichrist was leading Christians astray, leading them away from the church. And indeed, there have been many Antichrists throughout human history. And the ultimate deception of the Antichrist is that he or she glorifies themselves over God and over the Messiah who is to come. However, we know that ultimately the church will triumph. The church will enter the glory of heaven, not through power, not through worldly power or sheer numbers or some kind of strength in those ways. No, the church, in order to enter into this triumph, will have to follow the path that Jesus Christ had to follow when he brought about salvation. So Christ conquered sin and death, not through glory and power, but by suffering and death and rising from the dead. And so the church's triumph is not going to come about by things in the church getting better and better, the church more powerful, more influential, the church growing more and more numerous, and then the triumph comes. It's not going to be that way. There's going to be much suffering. There's going to be death. But the church will triumph. And how will that come about? Well, it'll come about through Christ's triumph at the last judgment, this judgment over evil. And we know from the book of Revelation, St. John gives us this vision. He had this vision of what that will be like. Now, again, the language that he uses is what we call apocalyptic language. It is a language that is highly symbolic, and one might say somewhat from a literal point of view, it looks kind of is somewhat overstated, but it's to make a point. And this is how he has this vision of the judgment. And he says, I saw the dead standing before the throne. Because of course we remember when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, that all who have died will rise, the good and the bad. And so in his vision he says, I saw the dead standing before the throne. Also, another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works as recorded in the books. Now, in reality, there is no book, okay? God doesn't need to write things down. He remembers everything, okay? But in this kind of way of this apocalyptic language, it talks about these books that are opened and stuff like that. There is no book. God knows everything. He doesn't need reminders. So there's going to be this judgment. The triumph is going to come about through the last judgment. And St. Peter, in his letters, says, in accordance with his promises, that is the promises of Jesus Christ, in accordance with his promises, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Now, this last judgment will take place after some kind of a final sort of cosmic upheaval of this passing world. St. Peter goes on to say, the heavens will be set ablaze, dissolved and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. Again, does it have to be? Is it going to be a lot of flames around? Is that what's going to happen? This world is just going to flame up? Again, this is kind of the language that is used to describe something terrible, something horrific is going to happen. And Jesus, you know, talking about this second coming, he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Of course, Jesus, when he talks about himself, he calls himself the Son of Man, oftentimes in the Gospels. And so Jesus says, then they will see the Son of Man, that is himself, glorified, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, the question is, what are we supposed to do when this happens? Jesus says, now, when these things begin to take place, he says, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So, for those who are faithful to the end, faithful to Jesus Christ, the coming tribulation, as terrible as it may be, that we're not afraid. It says, do not be terrified, says Jesus. We are not afraid because our Savior is coming. And we stand up to meet him. We raise our heads to see him. So, in the meantime, until this happens, and of course, nobody knows when it's going to happen. As Jesus Christ says, anyone who says they know, they don't know. Everybody who has said they know the day, they know when this is going to happen, in the whole history of the church, everybody has been wrong. So why would we start believing somebody who gives us sort of a date and a time when this is to take place? Jesus says, not even Jesus in his humanity, he says, knows the date. He says, nobody knows, not even the Son of Man knows when that day will come. Only the Father knows. So let us not be fooled. That's part of the religious deception when someone says they know. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, St. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, Jesus suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. Okay, wow. So there's going to be suffering involved. If we are being faithful to Jesus Christ, we will share in the suffering. And the suffering that he endured, which, of course, you remember when Saul was persecuting the Christians, Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Of course, wait a minute, Jesus, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Nobody can get to you to persecute you or to harm you. No, but because the church is the body of Christ, when the sufferings of the church are also Christ's sufferings. And so that's why St. Paul says that we bear the abuse he endured. And St. Paul goes on to say, for here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And then he goes on to say, okay, so what are we doing while we're waiting for the city which is to come, which of course is the heavenly Jerusalem? He goes on to say, through him, that is through Jesus Christ, through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. So, we are to continue to worship God in Christ, which of course is what the Mass is all about. What we are doing right now is exactly what we're supposed to be doing as we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. But he goes on to continue as to what we're supposed to do. He says, do not neglect to do good and share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So, as we are looking forward to the second coming, we're not supposed to go and hide under a rock, find a cave somewhere, you know, go into some underground bunker and we'll have all our stuff stored there. We're supposed to carry on with our life, what we're doing now, what Christians do, worship God, do good, be zealous for good works, and to share what we have with others. And he goes on to say another thing. So St. Paul says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Okay? And so that's another thing that we're supposed to do. So while we're waiting, we're not trying to cause divisions and doubt and in the church, encouraging people to turn from the legitimate authority
that Christ has given to the church. So we're supposed to obey what the church teaches. We're supposed to obey the leaders of the church. And again, when we do this, this is not something brand new, but actually, what are we doing? We're imitating Jesus Christ himself, who says, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father, who also said, my food is to obey the Father, is to do the Father's will, and not his own. And so we too, imitating Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is that perfect example of the virtue of obedience. Obedience, which is the virtue of obedience, comes under the you might say, the category of the virtue of justice. In the virtue of justice is giving each person what they are due. And of course, when we do, and that's what we call a human moral virtue, but when we do it out of love of God, that virtue, that human moral virtue, becomes a supernatural virtue. And so obedience is part of justice, giving each person what they are owed. Our leaders in the church, and also in civil society too, they are owed our obedience. And we imitate Christ, who submitted even to human authority, the one through whom all things were made. God himself submitted himself to human authority. That's remarkable. And it is by doing that that he undergoes the Paschal mystery, brings him to the Paschal mystery whereby we are saved. And if we are to imitate Jesus Christ, why do we think that we're not obliged to obey? No, we obey the legitimate authorities in the church and to a large extent outside the church. Obviously, civil society, some of it is not sort of imbued with Christian virtue, but yet we are to obey, as it says in the scripture. St. Paul talks about that. Jesus Christ himself obeyed human authority, so we do too. And in this way, we will be prepared when he comes again. Now, to be quite frank, I'm not really looking forward to all the tribulation and trials. In fact, it's kind of a little scary. But what I do know is that if I'm around here when that trial and tribulation comes, I know one thing, that God will give me and give you the strength to remain faithful to Jesus throughout it all. He doesn't promise to take away the suffering and the trials, but he does promise to be with us and to strengthen us. And we pray that we will not be one of those Christians who, when the trials and tribulations come, when the religious deception is going around, we pray that we don't be one of those who gives up following Jesus and follows another so-called Messiah. And we remember the words that we heard today in the gospel from Jesus. He says, by your endurance, you will gain your soul.